Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel is at the podium now, so we will send it to Josh Heupel.
Ball game. As I was getting ready for today, you know, I just started writing down some notes last night and really started to reflect just on the past 2 years and what has transpired inside of our program at our university and, you know, where we've come in such a short amount of time. When I took over 2 years ago, there was so much uncertainty that surrounded our program in late January. And because of the connection and accountability and love and trust that we've built inside of the building with our players and staff, we've been able to climb relatively quickly. But to go back to that time, you know, we're a program that entered that fall with only 65 scholarships. The uncertainty of an investigation that was taking place on our campus. I said in a room just like this 2 years ago that it would be a speed bump for the program, our football program. And a few days ago, we found out that that certainly was the case. We've navigated it in such a positive way because of the leadership that we have. Phenomenal leadership on our campus, from President Boyd to Chancellor Palman to our athletic director. We've been transparent and real. Been able to close that narrative on our program and move forward. And I'm not sure that there's a better time to be a Vol. You look at the trajectory of this football program, what's happened over the last 2 years and where we're going. The energy and excitement that surrounds our building every day, the energy that surrounds our fan base, Vol Nation across the country, but also the success that's happening in each and every sport that resides inside of our athletic department. Phenomenal leadership with coaches and great student athletes that do things the right way. Our program has been player driven from the very beginning. You guys have heard me say that before. It always will be. I think great seasons, championship seasons happen because of the leadership and the accountability and connection that happens inside of the locker room. As I look back on our past success, that doesn't happen. I talked about, you know, the 35 guys that left our program through the transfer portal before or right after I took over. We had a lot of guys that stayed that first year, 65 scholarship guys. Those guys that chose to stay, that were connected and cared about the Power T, that 21 and 22 class, are going to be revered and remembered in an unbelievably unique way because they rebuilt the cornerstones of Tennessee football for the future. And that ends with an Orange Bowl win last year that we're certainly excited about. Parlayed itself into the success that we've had in the NFL draft over the last 2 years. 10 draft picks over the last 2 years, one of the highest numbers in the country. Last year, 5 guys drafted in the top 3 rounds, which is second in the country. A lot of really unique things that are happening with their future inside of the game, but also what they're doing outside, the impact that they've had inside of our community. We've reset a team record every semester that I've been there. Last semester, we finished with a 3.17 team GPA. Our kids are doing it right and having a lot of fun competing together on a daily basis. Fortunate to bring 3 tremendous ambassadors for Tennessee football here today. Joe Milton, Omari Thomas, and Jacob Warren. Omari and Jacob are residents of this state. They've grown up with the Power T being a symbol inside of this border. Joe obviously is a great leader and ambassador for our program. You know, the tough thing about only choosing 3 guys is you only get to choose 3. We have a lot of great guys that are great leaders inside of our program that are a part of our leadership council. They weren't fortunate to be here or I couldn't bring with us, but they are also great representatives of our program. Really, a lot of special moments from a year ago. As we look back on the 22 season, a lot of special moments, things that our fan base will remember forever. The players inside of the locker room will remember forever. At the same time, fell short of a lot of the goals that we had set for our program. And I'm really excited and proud of what our players have done since they've gotten back on campus in late January. Their ability to reset and refocus and be ready to go accomplish a mission together. Individually grow, but collectively get ready to go accomplish a mission. It's a group that's extremely hungry. They want more. They expect more. And we're certainly excited about embarking on this 23 season. Accountability and consistency in that has been one of the main things that we've focused on this year. In this conference, you don't get any redos. You better show up every single Saturday afternoon or evening You're going to play great players, great coaches, and you got to be ready for those moments at home or on the road. And through that, we've tried to increase our leadership and ownership from within our program. I talked about how important that is to me. I think that's where championship seasons lie. And the second thing is we've tried to become more physical. And when I say that, everybody thinks about the line of scrimmage, but it's really at every position and every person inside of our program, continuing to grow in that way so that we have an opportunity to be the most physical football team on the field every Saturday. A ton of excitement that surrounds our program, 71,000 season tickets sold. The energy is real inside and outside of our program. But as I said at the end of the bowl game, the best is yet to come for Tennessee football. Excited about this journey with this group of guys in this 23 season. And I don't know that there's ever been a better time to be a Vol. So with that, I'm going to open it up for questions.
If you have a question, raise your hand. Price, Arizona, or Alexis will get a microphone to you. Please give your name and affiliation and stand up, please.
Thank you.
Okay, we will start up here on the front row, right here to our right.
Hey, Coach Heupel, Brady Penn, Volunteer Country. So with Hendon Hooker, you had a transfer that came in, had some success at the quarterback position. Now you've got Joe at quarterback, who's a transfer himself. And I know you saw that growth with Hendon. Talk a little bit about what it's been like for you to watch the growth from Joe.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the great stories in college football in the era of the transfer portal is, you know, his trust and ability to recognize areas that he can continue to grow in and trust the people around him that we have his best interests at heart. Understand that within our scheme, he's going to have an opportunity to do everything that he wants to, which is be one of the best players inside of college football. And through that process, you know, over the last, you know, 18 to 24 months, he's continued to grow in his comfort of who he is, what he's about, how he wants to approach and attack every single day, how he wants to grow as a football player, meaning fundamentally at the quarterback position, along with understanding offensive and defensive schemes so that he can put his eyes in the right spot, get his body in the right spot to be consistently accurate with the football, and then how he wants to impact his teammates. Nobody inside of our program was surprised by the success that he had when he got his opportunity last year as a starter. He played extremely well when he got into football games throughout the course of the season, but his preparation, his urgency, how he practiced, all those things led himself to everybody inside of our building believing that he was going to play at that type of level. And he's got a lot more out there. He's had a great offseason. For 15 practices in spring ball, did a great job of working, navigating the pocket, being extremely accurate with the football. I'm really excited to get back on the grass with him during the course of training camp. I believe he's poised to have a great 23 season.
Coach, we'll go over to my left and your left, second row. Eric.
Eric Bailey with the Tulsa World. Josh, you've been around college football your entire life. I was just curious, what does it mean to you to be on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot? And what do you think your players know about your playing career and also the national championship that you won at Oklahoma?
Yeah, they don't know enough about my playing career. Day one in training camp, I'm going to make sure we put a couple highlights up there. None of them of me running around either, by the way. It's a great honor to be looked at in that way, to be on the ballot, to be a potentially a part of the Hall of Fame. A year ago, we got an opportunity to recognize one of our teammates, Roy Williams, that got a chance to go in. Special player, had such a huge impact on the game and certainly what we did there at Oklahoma. Those things only happen, though, because of the players that I got an opportunity to be in the locker room with every single day. Forever grateful to all of those guys, everybody on the offensive side of all the five offensive linemen, but everybody on that team. It was a special team, and, it's certainly made a huge impact in my life, part of why I'm up here today, to be honest. And so forever indebted to those guys and very appreciative, but humbled by that recognition as well.
Okay, we'll stay over on that same side on the aisle, far out.
Hey, Josh, Tyler Palmateer with the Oklahoman. You know, a lot of Oklahoma fans, they remember your time very fondly and have followed you along as you become a head coach and watched your career. And I know that relationship with OU is a little complicated, but what was it like seeing, Oklahoma on the schedule in 2024?
Yeah, the relationship with Oklahoma really isn't complicated. I got nothing but great memories of the people and, my time there. I certainly do. And it's a huge, I got a chance to talk about Mike Leach a few minutes ago back in, backstage and in the interview. And, everybody there helped shape who I am and where I'm at today. And still got a lot of great friends and teammates that live back there. So, the opportunity to go back to Oklahoma, yeah, I wish they were coming to Knoxville first, but I say that jokingly, but looking forward to that opportunity. That's a long ways down the road, man, focused on 23, but that'll be a unique day in my career, obviously, to go back there.
Coach, we'll go down the center aisle about three-quarters of the way back.
Hey, Coach, Christian Skelton with Fox Sports Knoxville. You've been able to retain your entire coaching staff aside from Cody Burns and Alex Golish since you've been on campus. How big is stability in your coaching staff for your program?
Yeah, you try to create a culture that coaches want to be a part of. They feel like they are part of the process. You want to create a culture where families get a chance to be a part of the process as well. I grew up the son of a coach, and those are the greatest memories of my childhood. And so I think it's really important that they're a part of it. And if you do those things and you have the resources that we have at Tennessee, you're able to have some stability within your staff, which is vitally critical to your players. Them understanding what they're walking into every single day, not having to rebuild an entire relationship from the ground up. We've been able to replace those guys, and you want staff to grow too, right? Like Alex will do a great job down in South Florida. I want guys to get head jobs from where we're at, but guys aren't just leaving to take another job either. And so we've actually been able to promote from within because they were the right guys. There's so much consistency. All the things that we were navigating as you take over a program and in year one and year two, I think it was vitally important that we've been able to have that, and it's a big part of our continued growth this offseason here in 23.
Coach, we're going to go in front of me about three-quarters of the way back.
Yeah, Coach, Joey Knight with the Tampa Bay Times. Could you expand on, you said you feel Alex will be a great head coach. What are his traits? Why do you think he'll be a great head coach?
Competitive, willing to work. I think those are two traits that drive you every minute of the day to continue to help your program grow. You look at that, it's where the starting blocks are, in my opinion. And then he's got a great ability to communicate. And he's hired a lot of really good people. Some of them were in our building a year ago, some young staff that will be great coaches. So I'm really excited about, where he's going to take that program.
Coach, we'll go straight in front of me. First row.
Teresa Walker, the Associated Press. Josh, the in these days, you're almost in a rare situation where you've got a quarterback you had now going into your third season. He's been here. With the transfer portal, is it challenging? And how grateful are you that you're not having to deal with getting a quarterback up to speed out of the portal and get them up to speed in your offense all before the season starts? And how nice is it to have Joe in this situation?
Yeah. It is rare that you're able to keep quarterbacks inside of your quarterback room. The days of having, four or five quarterbacks consistently, I think those are probably not real anymore. Guys want to have the opportunity to play and compete early. I think it's rare that a young man like Joe is able to sit back and trust the people around him that we have his best interest at heart. Recognize the areas that he can and needs to grow in to become the player that he's capable of, and also know that if I stick this thing out and I compete hard every single day, I'm going to grow, and in what we do offensively, I'm going to be able to do the things that I wanted to inside a college football landscape. Those are rare things, and it takes a really mature guy, which Joe has proven to be.
Coach, we'll go here, right here in the middle of the front row.
Coach, Brooks Austin with Dogs Daily. Being an offense that prioritizes pace, I'm curious your thoughts on the new rule change with the clock no longer stopping on first downs. And additionally, there's a potential rule with, the hash marks maybe aligning themselves with the NFL. You also prioritize space, so I'm interested in your thoughts on that potential change.
The clock rule at the end of the first half, I think everybody's going to be playing in it the same way. I don't think it's going to have a dramatic different effect on us versus another offense. the how you manage your timeouts might be a little bit different at the end of, you know, regulation or at the end of the half. All in all, we'll see what the numbers, you know, play out to be. But, you know, there's a series of the game that's probably taken away in general for every team, you know, because of some of the clock rules. But we'll see how that plays out during the course of the year.
Coach will go in straight in front of me, about three quarters of the way back.
Coach, Tim Buckley with the Daily Memphian in Memphis. What does it mean to the interior of your defense to have Omari Thomas not consider going in draft? And what does his personality bring to your locker room?
Omari is a guy that loves to have fun. He's got great energy every single day. He's become a really strong leader in being able to command guys, and that can be positively. It can be trying to get them to go accomplish the things that they need to in the weight room or on the practice field. He's got a great voice inside of our locker room. As I said, a tremendous leader. Vitally important for us as we continue to try to take steps on the defensive side of the football. A year ago, we took a massive jump in our ability to defend the run. Omari and the guys that we brought back a year ago were a huge part of that. Expect all of those guys to make another jump. They did a great job in spring ball, fundamentals, technique, consistency from play to play, day to day. And, you know, one of the other areas that we've had to improve upon is the ability to affect the passer with our front four, not just bringing pressure. We need that because of situational football. We got to get better on third downs, third and long in particular. And I thought those guys did a great job this spring. Coach Garner, Coach Eckler, what those guys have done up front, really happy and pleased and excited to get to training camp with them.
Coach, we'll go back over here to the middle section on the right along the aisle.
Hi, Coach. Right here.
Over here.
Sorry.
Right.
Travis Gailey with OrangeBloods.com. With Texas coming into the league now, which school has the real claim to being able to call itself UT?
There's only one real UT. One right shade of orange.
We'll go all the way to the back, all the way in the left-hand side, back of the room.
Yeah, Coach. Edgar Thompson, the Orlando Sentinel. How much of a catalyst was the Florida game, given the history of the series, recent history, that is, and the rivalry to you guys' season last year?
Catalyst, yes, at that point in the season, but every season there's steps that you have to take, and in some ways there's benchmarks, but there's opportunities for growth. And I thought throughout the course of the football season last year, we continued to get better a majority of the season, and that's what good teams do. The Florida win was a big win, absolutely, for our fan base as much as anything, meaning in recent years we hadn't had the same amount of success as we would have liked to. But for our players, there was great confidence going into it, and yes, great confidence coming out of it as well.
Okay, we'll go to the middle section, right in front of the camera, all the way towards the back.
Hey, Rob Brown, Sideline Sports, Memphis. What's moving the needle more in college football now from when you played coming out of South Dakota, offensive or defensive coordinators, and what are the expectations of a defense against an offense like yours?
Well, my expectation for the defense that we're playing isn't for them to have a whole lot of success, but that's my viewpoint. In football, you got to play all three phases together. Offense, defense, and special teams. And at the end of the day, we're always trying to find a way to be plus one. That can be 3-2 or whatever it needs to be. And at the end of the day, every side's got to grow together.
Coach, we'll go over here to our right-hand side over here on the far right section.
Hey, Coach.
Over right there. Here we go.
Steve Moulton, WZZN out of Huntsville, Alabama. I hope you're doing well. Wanted to ask about tampering. That has certainly been a subject that's been brought up quite a bit here lately. How big of an issue is it, and what would be a good starting point to alleviate this issue?
How big of an issue it is, I don't know. I think there's so many people that are involved in the recruitment of players. Could be high school coaches, could be workout facilities, 7-on-7 coaches, whatever. You know, there's so many different dynamics that go into it. I don't know how you stop the communication completely at any one point. So I don't have a silver bullet for that issue, similar to a lot of other issues that maybe we're trying to navigate inside of college football. But there's a lot of smart people that are working on finding answers to those things.
Coach, we'll stay on the same side over on the right-hand side in front of the SEC logo.
Jacob Goins, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. Besides wins on the football field, what's a goal or goals for you as a head coach at the University of Tennessee?
Standard at Tennessee is to win championships. It's pretty clear. You know, I think we're top 10 in the history of college football in wins, first-round draft picks, bowls, bowl wins. The standard is to compete at the highest level and win championships. You know, for us, that starts in the Eastern Division, which everybody knows that there's a lot of good football that's played in that division.
Okay, Coach, we'll stay on that same side in the front row right here.
Coach Dan Harrelson, Ballswire. Speaking of recruiting, obviously it's a big part of the game. Brian Kelly mentioned this week that in the future he thinks AI will be a driving force for intriguing options, you know, trying to see what player profiles out there that kind of fit what you want to do offensively, defensively. What's your opinion on that going forward?
AI is infiltrating in so many different areas, from business, I'm sure in sport too. Eventually becomes a resource probably for everybody inside of college football. You know, how quickly that partakes inside of our program, I can't give you an answer on, but I'm sure that at some point it will.
Stay in that second section, two rows back, just right behind.
Hey, Josh. Andy Witchery with On3. The Knoxville News Sentinel reported that the Tennessee Attorney General may have used the NIL law in the state to threaten to sue the NCAA and maybe prevent a bowl ban. I know there's a different regime, but what is it like to have the state AG behind the program and willing to support the school's athletes?
I said it earlier when I opened up and in my opening remarks, just, you know, our administration and their willingness to fight for innocent student athletes. You know, I mentioned the 65 scholarships players walking into that first season because there was huge hurdles in our first 2 years to get to this point that we've had to climb out of. And, you know, the easiest thing would have been for our administration and for me too, is to take a bowl ban in year one. But that wasn't right. The guys that were left were innocent guys and new staff. You know, there's nobody left from administration in our athletic department to the football side of it, football staff to our players that was really involved. And so it was right to compete and give those guys an opportunity to fulfill or have an opportunity to fulfill all the things that they wanted to inside of a college football season for those guys that were going out. And you know, appreciate our administration and everybody fighting for those guys.
Okay, we have one right up here, Arizona. Come up right here on the front aisle, second row. Bob.
Hey, Josh. Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. How you doing? I had a two-parter. If you forget the second part, Kevin will help you remember. He's good at that.
Okay.
I know you talked a lot about Joe already, but and I know he was experienced before the Orange Bowl, but how big was it for him to have the kind of game he did for him, for the team, everybody? And then you mentioned the investigation in your opening remarks. How good is it just have that, some closure to that, have it behind you?
Yeah, for Joe, I think it was solidified all the work that he had put in that he would go out and perform and play. It was proving himself right as much as anything. It wasn't proving anybody wrong. It was about proving himself right. And it was great for him. It was great for the guys around him to see that hard work does pay off and take advantage of your opportunities and be prepared when it comes. The second part of your question was what I'm going to ask.
How it felt after it's been resolved.
Yeah. The NCAA stuff, for our current roster, they really hadn't thought about it or focused on it very much. I can tell that in the way that the team meeting went after the news came out. I was out of town, so we had to do it virtually after their workouts, which was right after the news came out. But, you know, for how we handle recruiting, you know, the guys that signed with us in the last 18 to 24 months that trusted what we were saying to them, the transparency of the dialogue that we had with them, it was unbelievably satisfying to get over that hump. You're not dealing with unknowns now. You're not dealing with other programs that are beating you up and in some ways sensationalizing what's going to happen. I was able to have great trust in what our administration was talking to us about. We're, you know, consistent and clear in that messaging to our recruits. And that's why, you know, we've been able to recruit at a really high level. But it's great to have it in the rearview mirror, not something that you're driving by all the time.
Coach, we'll go right in front of my table here, second row on the aisle.
Coach Heupel, Drew DeArmon, WZZN Radio, Huntsville, Alabama. I wanted to ask you about Squirrel White from my state. He had a big Orange Bowl, and you guys have done a great job developing Cedric Tillman, going on to the NFL, and now Jalen Hyatt. Talk about his future, and he really kind of stepped up in that bowl game when both those guys didn't play.
Yeah, young player that we knew was going to play at a really high level when given the opportunity. It's been great to see him grow from a quiet young kid that came on the campus into somebody that's got a ton of personality and energy and his teammates in a positive way. Great work habits, as tough as they come. From day one, he's willing to stick his face into anything and be extremely physical and compete really hard. He's got elite speed, great ball skills, has the ability to be a great route runner. Anticipate him having a great year. You guys saw him perform extremely well in the Orange Bowl.
Coach, we'll take one final question in the section in front of me, about halfway back on the aisle.
Hi, Coach. Clark Brooks on three in SEC StatCat. While one of the sexiest aspects of your offense is that vertical choice, I think a really underrated aspect is the eclectic approach you have in that run game. Only 12 reps separated your most run concept from your sixth. Would you mind elaborating on how having that type of balanced approach on the ground really does help facilitate things on the back end and help things come open?
Yeah, I love your passion and energy for our offense, man. might need you bring you in on the recruiting pitch. I think people get caught up in the perimeter numbers and the quarterback development and the quarterback numbers that have been out there. Everybody that studies it understands that the secret to our sauce is the ability to run the football. Coach Ellerbe and I have been together. I think we're going on year 8 now, three different stops. He does an unbelievable job. From game plan to fundamentals to, you know, teaching overall scheme and concepts on the other side of the football. Our five guys continued to grow year 1 to year 2. We took a huge step. They play synchronized, you know, in the tempo that we play at, the ability to communicate and get everybody on the same page does an unbelievable job. So I appreciate you recognizing all those things.
Coach Heupel, thank you for your time this afternoon.
All right, appreciate it. Vol Nation, look forward to seeing you here in 44 days. Go Big Orange.
All right, there you go. That was Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel at the podium. We will react to what he had to say coming up next. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Steve Moulton, WZZN out of Huntsville, Alabama. I hope you're doing well. I wanted to ask about tampering. That has certainly been a subject that's been brought up quite a bit here lately. How big of an issue is it, and what would be a good starting point to alleviate this issue?
How big of an issue it is, I don't know. I think there's so many people that are involved in the recruitment of players. Could be high school coaches, could be workout facilities, 7-on-7 coaches, whatever. You know, there's so many different dynamics that go into it. I don't know how you stop the communication completely at any one point. So I don't have a silver bullet for that issue, similar to a lot of other issues that maybe we're trying to navigate inside of college football. But there's a lot of smart people that are working on finding answers to those things.
Head coach Josh Heupel at the podium. Question on tampering. Wouldn't touch in that one. With not, you know, digging himself in a hole into that one. But when I heard that, I thought, one, really, how big of a problem is tampering? And two, if it is a problem, it's not a problem that's new.
All right, let's...
Like, this has been going on probably for forever.
But let's kind of give a hypothetical here.
Yep.
Okay. Or a hypothetical.
Ha-ha!
Well...
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, so I'm going into the transfer portal, right? Now, if I'm playing it by the book, I'm supposed to just go in there with a leap of faith that, yeah, I'm a good player. I'll just go in there, and I'll start getting phone calls. right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's jumping into a sea of uncertainty, right? I don't know if I'm doing it right. I'm not supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to have anybody calling me beforehand. But maybe before I make the – because as soon as I go, my scholarship's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That my coach that I'm leaving, I've told my coach I'm leaving, he's going to give my scholarship to Derek, right? He's got the next guy lined up. That's
right.
His job. And that's the thing. That's a two-way street.
They're going to replace you.
They're mm-hmm. going to replace you. Now, maybe my coach says, all right, Willie, go ahead, test the waters. But remember, you can come back. That's usually not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some guys that maybe they do that for. But this is why a lot of kids get stuck in the portal and they don't get the grass greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But so now I'm trying to protect myself. So I call my uncle or my cousin or my
advisor.
Old coach, my advisor. Yeah. Calls around, make a few phone calls. Before I decide I'm going to transfer, let's just see what we can find out. We know that's going on. Why wouldn't you do that as a player?
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
So, to me, it's a big problem, right? It's got to be a big problem in there, especially when you can't go back.
Right.
So, I don't know what you do about it. I don't know what you do about it.
Right.
I'm not sure that it's no more a problem than it probably was 10 years ago.
Right.
The question is how bad is it, right?
It's
one thing if we do some back channels. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, if you did, look, I don't want, like, what if you're trying to be ethical? Mm-hmm. Like, you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at LSU. Caroline, you want to transfer to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And through the back channels, I tell your people, look, I don't know what your experience is like, Caroline, at where you are right now. But, hey, you're a great player. Yes, we would be interested. But we're not telling you what to do. Where I think you can cross the line is people start calling you from LSU and say,
you're getting actively recruited.
Caroline, you know, you're really a good player, but your team's not very good. You know, we just beat the crap out of you. We need somebody at your position. If you transfer, we'll jump all over you. And we got a little thing called NIL over here at LSU. We got a nice little fundage here. Just want to let you know, I don't know what you're making over at
$2 million.
Right now. But we got some money for you. Like, that's where it gets bad, right?
Yeah, it
you,
does.
You kind of have to police each other a little bit.
Well,
so,
that,
hey, don't tamper with my
not
guys.
They're not doing that.
But you do have some of this, right? There is a little checks and balances. Hey, if this gets out of control, we're going to start talking. We're going to start letting people know about it.
I think eventually, if it does, if they feel it's getting out of control, because they're not going, as we know, when it comes to NCAA, they're not going to actively look for things. It has to fall on their lap, and they have no choice but to go investigate it. I think a lot of times these young men and women, when they get in the portal, and that's why I would love to see, and maybe we would, and you and I have talked about this, Willie, a 30 for 30 on the portal. Because, because if there is tampering, and there's still that many people in the portal, we have a problem.
Yeah.
But how many times have you seen a player say, hey, I'm going to transfer, and then the next day, boom, there's a graphic made up of, I'm going to TCU. Like, you're telling me in the last 12 hours uh-huh. you decided to transfer, and then you started having conversations with coaches, and then you got all of this made up. You know, they don't try to camouflage it very
but
well.
I think a lot of times these men and women are going to places that were recruiting them heavy anyway. Prior to, say, if I
right.
go, I went to Michigan State, so I knew Colorado was recruiting me heavy. I knew Kansas was recruiting me heavy.
And those
I knew
would some still other, probably
exactly,
be options.
Those are teams that still probably want me on there in their schools. So what I'm going to do is, okay, I got some teams out there that I know want me, so I'm going to go into the portal. Hey, thank you, but no thank you. I tried it here, didn't work. I'm going to go in the portal because I know at least these three or four schools still want me on their campus or want me as a part of their team. So when they do get in the campus, all of a sudden, boom. Now, there may be some back channel, you know, here and there, like,
totally.
Hey, are you still – hey, go see if they're still interested mm-hmm. in
yeah.
me if, indeed, I do get in the portal. And then they come back and say, yeah, just get in the portal. And they said, if you know, you can come.
Stop
and
lo
and behold, you jump in the portal, and you jump right back out of the portal, and you're right at a university. So I think a lot of that – that's how it goes. But I don't think the NCAA, unless, you know, Willie or Caroline finds a big story and set it right there on the NCAA's lap, they're not going to do anything.
I think the best – I don't know how they do it, but I do think in the past there has been a lot of communication back and forth between the programs saying, look, we know this goes on. Let's decide how we're going to do this, okay? But let's decide how we're not going to do this because there is no way to police it. But I think there should be a little bit of an honor among thieves because it is coming back around. If you're poaching people from other people's rosters, it will come back around on you.
If you are a serial roster pirate, is what we can call it, I guess, there's going to be coaches that are
serial poacher.
I think it's all kind of a code of like, look, I'm doing it, you're doing it, we're all doing it. But once somebody steps over the line, it's like, look, like we have a thing going here, we have a code. And are we all kind of breaking the rules? Yeah. But when you do it to a certain extent and it starts to get shady and you start to break kind of the coach code, then I think it starts to become a problem.
But I think, listen, if these young men and women want to, you know, make their job easier, because I know different situations cause for you to get into the portal. It's not just because, you know, I'm not playing. There may be family issues. You may be want to be closer to home.
Coach
so
got fired.
Exactly. There are a myriad of different reasons why you get in the portal. But if you want to sort of protect yourself from being in the portal purgatory, so to speak, when you get an opportunity on the field, you got to produce, whether it be on a basketball court, football court, baseball diamond. It doesn't matter. If you get an opportunity to compete, you show that you can play. So when you do get in that portal, it'll be a little bit easier for you to get out of it. It's hard when you haven't stepped on the field and then say, oh, I'm transferring because they're not giving me. It's like, okay, you're transferring, but when you go, you have no film. You have no film. What are you doing here? You know, so I don't know.
Well, let's get your thoughts on this coming up next. We've got a bunch of texts in our text lines. We're right into those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze is brought to you by Zen Sportsbook. And we are live from the game studio, sponsored by Haller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. 1025-1063, the game.
Oh, you didn't know? You had to call somebody.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. We got some texts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What we heard from Josh Heupel, the latest in college sports. Kevin Texan says, this is just the new normal is what it is. It's not the college ball that we grew up, nor should it be. And it changes. Games evolve. The NFL has evolved. The NHL has evolved. Every sport in America, and even outside of America, has evolved time over time. And so there are a lot of changes that college football traditionalists probably detest, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But like we talked about with Mitch Light, it doesn't change my perception of the game on a Saturday. It doesn't change the feel when you're in a stadium on a Saturday afternoon and it's, you know, an Alabama-Tennessee rivalry, whatever it might be.
You know, I don't think the changes, all the changes that have been made, majority of them, I think it has advanced college sports, particularly college football. I know, you know, there are purists out there that you may not, you know, have liked some of the changes that has gone on with college sports. But, you know, what is the old saying? Either you adapt or you die. You know, you wither away. So the sport has learned to adapt to the change and adapt to the players and the players' need and what the players want. I think it's a good thing that college sports as a whole. I don't like some of the sort of realignment that they're making, but it's not going to prevent me from watching college football or college basketball. Mm-hmm. I just love both the sports. But there are some things that, you know, you wish maybe that should stay the same. But, you know, they're only trying to do it from a playing surface standpoint to advance and make the sport better.
I'm the same way. Look, I'm a total sucker. I am addicted to all of the sports that I've had ingrained in me since I was six or seven, is, you know, when I can first remember watching sporting events on TV.
Like, aren't
they're,
we all?
They're never going to lose me, mm-hmm. right? But that doesn't mean I can't be very dissatisfied. Like, for example, with baseball, I was really, 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 really hoping that baseball would take the measures they've taken now to speed up the game, to make the product better, mm-hmm. to take away the shift and doing something. They went several years where I didn't think the product was at its best. I feel that way about college football and some of the things that are going on. I don't like how NIL is doing things. I don't like the fluidity of the transfer portal. I think it's created a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. But, of course, when the lights go on Saturday, am I going to be watching? Absolutely.
Totally.
Just like I always have. I hate the idea of 16-team leagues. I think it's too big, especially for football. Mm-hmm. You cannot have an equitable schedule with 16 teams. They're going there. It doesn't really matter what I think.
Right.
In another 5 or 10 years, we might see two conferences, right? The AFC and the NFC.
We might think
a lot of
16
people,
teams was dinky and
right.
tiny.
It may get to that point. So will I still be watching? Yeah, but I don't think that's the best direction of the game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Rick Neuheisel, former college and NFL coach, and now SiriusXM College Sports Channel will join us coming up next. I know he's got some D-Mace stories for us, so I'm looking forward to it. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.